And now it is. Brilliant. All right. Praise the Lord. First of all, Mark 16 is our scripture that gives us the Great Commission. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And of course, that goes in parallel with Matthew 28, which is go into the world and make disciples of all nations. But they have to go hand in hand. A disciple who doesn't know how to share the gospel isn't that great a disciple. So we've got to remember, there's a lot of things we need to teach, a lot of things we need to learn, but sharing the gospel is certainly one of them. Paul says, I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. I delivered it to you as of first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. And we saw that in Galatians 1, he says the gospel that he preached wasn't of human origin. It wasn't taught to him by a man. He received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So it's a divine message. And it's something that when he says it's of first importance, that's because Jesus said it's of first importance. Interestingly, it's not as if Paul made this thing up and then everybody ran with Paul. He actually went to the apostles in Jerusalem at one point privately and made sure that what he was preaching was actually the correct gospel. And in Galatians, he goes on to say, if anyone else, any other so-called Jesus, any other so-called angel or person brings a different gospel, let them be accursed, anathema, for eternity. Very strong words and very, very important. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew and also the Greek. And then in Acts, we see how Peter has an angel come and say to him, send to Joppa, bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and your household. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, to us who are being saved. It is the power of God. So we saw last week, the gospel is a God-ordained message about the cross of Jesus Christ and the power of God within that message to save and to give eternal life. We saw last week that the gospel has five components, and I don't have time to go through all of these today. Sin, righteousness, judgment, Jesus is Savior, and Jesus is Lord. The best way we can sum that up is that we are saved from God, by God, for God. That's who we start out as being, enemies of God. We are transformed by His power into being His friends, into being children of God, and then we are there for His purposes. And we also saw that we should aim to speak the message. Go into all the world and proclaim the message. Peter says, God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. In him you trusted after you what? Heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Likewise, we also saw last week that the words of the gospel is not the same thing as the works or the effects of the gospel. And scholars have agreed on this. They said, we deny that the witness of personal testimony, godly living, acts of mercy and charity to our neighbor, and can mean signs and wonders and even apologetics. Just because you've got the evidence to present to someone that God is real, that the Bible is true, that the earth is young, it doesn't mean they're going to believe. Jesus said, even if someone rises from the dead, some people will not believe. None of that constitutes evangelism apart from the proclamation of the gospel itself. So I put this picture up last time, and I'm going to come back to it again today. We've got God's way and the devil's way. So God's way, we've got the words and the message of the gospel. Now notice that they lead the way because they give direction. They give direction to the church. They give direction to our lives. They give direction as to what we're supposed to be doing. The other thing you'll notice in this picture is that this bike is going uphill. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, wide is the gate, easy is the way that leads down to destruction, and many go by it. He said, narrow is the gate, and difficult is the path that leads to salvation, and how many find it? Few. That's right. So it's crucial that we remember the message of the gospel to give direction to the church and to our lives. Of course, it's backed up by the works and the effects of the gospel. Because it's really important that we don't just have preaching with nothing else. And sometimes you've got to build a bridge with people. You've got to do the works before you can actually input in their lives. However, if we get rid of this, this is where we end up. We're all over the show. A uni cycle does not go very well uphill. Okay? It's usually a clown on it, and it's all a bit of fun and laughter and ha-ha. And I want to put to you today that organizations started out with a very clear commission for the gospel and then forgot the words over the years, lost track of the gospel, end up being nothing more than just secular clubs or humanitarian organizations. I spoke with one particular organization. I asked them, they basically help out kids, and they were working with kids in a Muslim area. And I said to them, do you proclaim the gospel? Do you share the Bible stories with these children? Oh, no, not in the Muslim areas. I said, oh, well, where do you do it? Oh, in the Christian areas. Oh, well, that's great. Wonderful. You see, they've forgotten that that's what should be driving their witness. Now, I want to also... Oh, what have I done here? We're on. Ah, right hand. There we go. The gospel also extends to other areas. And one of those areas is shame and honor. Because in many societies, honor in Islam is very much an example of this, is a form of social currency. And it gives status in a community. So, for example, a Muslim may not actually see themselves as guilty if they're taking stuff from work, nicking stuff, if it's for the well-being of their family. But if they're caught, there's a shame aspect to that, and that can be a real issue. So honor is the key, and being ritually clean can actually be more important than one's actions. This Arab proverb is very telling. Shame is not washed away except by blood. So for a Muslim, the good news initially might be that Jesus Christ atoned for our shame as well as our guilt. They read the story that Isa, Jesus, gave honor and healing for the leper, the outcast of society, and uses saliva to heal a blind man. So what he touches becomes clean, and that's really important. Hebrews 12:2 says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. Behold, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Even U2 sings about this in one of their songs. You took the cross of my shame. AJ, would you mind coming up, please? The other area I want to just explore a little bit is the idea of fear and power. Fear of the demonic and the power of God. Now, as AJ comes up, this scripture from Acts 30, and I'm not going to read all of it, but it talks about Paul and Barnabas when they were in Paphos and they were talking to the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. And he wanted to hear more of the word of God. But he had a buddy. He had an advisor. His name was Bar-Jesus, and also known as Elymas the sorcerer. And he was trying to turn him away from what Paul and Barnabas were saying. So Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looks at Elymas and says, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun. I don't recommend you say that at home. Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Right there, we have the power of God in action, backing up the gospel. For some communities, seeing the power of God over the kingdom of darkness is actually what brings them to Christ and is very, very important. I've asked AJ, I spoke to him last night, whether he would share something from Lao in terms of the things that he's seen there and what the Christians there have encountered.
As I was thinking about this story, I was thinking about the many different ways in which God does work, and they're all powerful, really. And I just want to start by talking about sharing with you a definition of coincidence, because this refers to this particular story, a definition of coincidence that I heard many years ago. It goes like this. Coincidence is when God works a miracle and decides to remain anonymous. And this is this case with this lady, and I'll call her Mrs. T for the sake of her privacy, but Mrs. T grew up in a village way up in the mountains of Laos where she was exposed to full-on animism. For those of you that don't know what animism is, it's worship of spirits. There's spirits in everything. Rivers and trees and rocks and everything. And their whole lives are guided by fear of spirits, which is an interesting thing. Because actually those spirits are demons. And so this was her whole life. Now she, by coincidence, that's where that word comes in, which is God's working, she came down to Buxay, where Lao Vida is, and she actually managed to get a job working as a housemaid in a place right next door to Lao Vida. Now, the power of God that works in so many different ways was this. One day when she was doing housework in this place, she heard this singing coming from next door. Now, to her, this was the most amazing, splendid thing she had ever heard. Such a beautiful thing. And she heard this day after day after day. Now, what this singing was Lao Vida team doing their daily devotions. And they would sing worship songs. They do sing worship songs. And just speak from the word. And so Mrs. T, day by day, heard this music, the sound of this singing coming through the window where she was working. The power of God at work. It's just singing. It wasn't a choir. It wasn't some fantastic band. It was just a bunch of folks singing at midday doing their devotions. She was so struck by this singing, even in her full-on animistic state where she believed in all these demons, she was compelled to go next door and ask them, can I please join you? I want to know what it is that you people are singing. That's the power of God. That's a miracle right there. And over a process of time, she gave her heart to the Lord. This lady was had a very dark demeanor. Dark moods would come over her, anger. It was just probably demonic possession. Now, if you met Mrs. T, you would meet a lovely, joyful, spirit-filled lady. It's the most beautiful thing. And that right there is the power of God. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, AJ. Praise God. And we see that, you know, Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You know, that's a perfect example of that. The one thing I will, however, also emphasize is that the gospel always comes back to the cross. See, the proconsul had already been taught the word of God, and he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. And if we look at Colossians 1, verse 14, the very next verse, we are transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son, and then it says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So the two go hand in hand. Now the question I want to ask today is the gospel only for non-Christians? Paul says to the Romans, I long to see you, I want to impart some spiritual gift to you. And then he says, as much as is in me, I want to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome as well. But he's talking to the church, which is a little bit unusual. I always found that a little bit unusual. Then, of course, he carries on. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. The Greek word for salvation is soteria. And that can mean a number of things. Number one, it can mean deliverance, preservation, safety, or salvation from enemies, such as God, because we were his enemies until we were reconciled through the death of his Son. It can mean in the future the salvation that we will experience when all the blessings of heaven come to earth. We have glorified bodies, no more aches and pains, no need for ibuprofen anymore, and everything will be great. But in the present, it also means salvation in a state that we all have as we are being sanctified. 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, present tense, it is the power of God. The Greek word for save is sozo. It can mean be whole, heal, make whole, restored, get well, cured, delivered. It's all part of the process of becoming Christ-like. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about being transformed into the image of Christ. And when we look at the word power of God, dynamis in Greek, it can mean the inherent power and ability residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, the power for performing miracles, and the moral power and excellence of the soul. So the reality is that the gospel is also for Christians, because it's the gospel that gives us the righteousness of God for eternal salvation and the power of God for sanctification, the being saved in the here and now. Jesus said this. He said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. He didn't say you can do some things. He said you can do nothing. The word of the cross tells us we can't be saved by our works, and that we can't do good works except by his grace and empowerment, which is in the word itself. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 15:10, I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Now, what an incredibly arrogant statement. Can you imagine this? Paul comes along, says, you blokes that have spent 3.5 years with Jesus, nah, I've worked harder than you guys. Can you imagine him saying that? It's a bit like Moses, who writes the first five books of the Bible and says Moses was the most humble man on earth. Hey, that's pretty cool. But it's true, because he says it wasn't I, but it was God who was working through me by his grace. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. There's nothing we can do apart from Christ. So in a sense, when we fail, it's not actually so much about our sin, although of course we need to repent, but it's about failing to reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ. And we've always got to remind ourselves, when we're tempted, it's not the feelings that we have at that point that is who we truly are. The heart is deceitful above all things, says Jeremiah 17:9. It's through the gospel that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And this is our true identity. This is who we really are. Yes, we've got the flesh tacked on for the rest of our earthly lives, but that's not who we really are anymore. And the gospel brings us back to that fact and contains the power that can make us outlive that. Ephesians 4:24, put on the new self, created after the likeness of God and the true righteousness and holiness. One theologian put it this way. He said, by grace, I will become what I already am. And that is the truth of the gospel for Christians. So I'm going to come back to this picture just for a moment. I want to say this. There is a real danger that when we forget about the words of the gospel, the message of the gospel, not only do we end up wandering around all over the place and not heading uphill, which is the way we should be going, but there's a real danger that if we take away the power of the gospel for ourselves as Christians, we also end up losing the works of the gospel. And I think we've seen that many times in people's lives. That's why it's so important to keep the gospel first and foremost for those out there, but for us as well. So in other words, we never move on from the cross. We build on the message of the cross. We build on that message. So I want to come to a key part of today, which is to look at some practical ways of sharing the gospel. Kim, do you want to come up here, buddy? The first one I want to look at is tracts. This is basic entry-level evangelism. Okay, spread it. All right. Hey, mate, have you seen this? Yeah, have read in your own time. See what you think. That was difficult. Easy. No, I'll get it back now. The point with this is we've got thousands of these, haven't we?
We have.
We can put this anywhere. ATM machine, petrol station, or letterboxes. Yeah. Letterbox drop. Now, if that scares you, it's okay. There's the cover of darkness. You wear a black hoodie, and you do that. Very simple, okay? And it's amazing how many people have had their lives changed by something as simple as this. One of the things that I would love to see is our church have an outreach focus for next Easter. Easter is a time of the year when we don't have all the commercialism, or not quite the same degree of Christmas, but it's actually about Jesus. And if we can get some gospel tracts that are Easter gospel tracts, then we could actually make a plan to go out and do letterbox drop. So that's one of the things we can do. The other thing we can do is actually just send the gospel. So if you've got a Facebook page, put up a link to this website. People will go, huh, what's that about? Or email it to people. If they've got questions, really good website, great resource, very simple. And then there's my favourite, ooh, the test. Now the test is this booklet, and there's also a laminate that goes with it, all right? So the test I'm going to do on screen with Kim, but I'm just going to show you how it works. It's very simple. Someone's just standing there, looks like they've got a bit of time, or sitting on a park bench. Excuse me, buddy, I was wondering if you could help me out with something. A little bit different. Have you seen this before?
No, I haven't, bro.
This is the New Zealand Good Person Test. Christian thing, takes about 3 minutes, a few questions, you just got to be honest.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to switch to this now. So you can see what I'm doing. So first of all, would you consider yourself to be a good person, a good Kiwi?
In general, yes.
In general? Yep. Yeah, good, be honest, excellent. Right. Number one, ever told a lie, no matter how small?
I've told a lie.
Yeah, okay. No, you're being very honest. Sorry, that's really good. Number two, stolen something, doesn't matter what?
Yes.
Not listened to your parents when you were younger?
Yes, I have.
Ever hated someone?
Certainly.
Yeah. Ever said God or Jesus out of frustration? God
sadly,
cuts you off
yes,
on yeah, sadly. Okay. Yeah. So, mate, these are five of the Ten Commandments from the mm-hmm. Bible, okay? Mm-hmm. If I was to be honest, I'd have to tick all the boxes. I'm no better than anyone else.
Sure.
Now, we all break these, okay? Which means that when we come before God at judgment, we're all guilty. Me, you, Mother Teresa, it doesn't matter who, okay? Let me show you what happens. When we break those laws, okay, it creates a barrier between us and God called sin. And if that stays till the day we die, God loves us, but he's still got to judge us for breaking those laws.
Mm-hmm.
And the end result would be down here, which is sad. He doesn't want that. So what he did is he came to earth as a human being, lived the perfect life that we couldn't, and he died on the cross. He took our punishment for breaking his laws. And then he rose from the dead so we can be forgiven. When you're forgiven, it's like you're given a perfect record. It's like you've never done anything wrong.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Same as with the presidential pardon in the USA. The president's going out. He's got a few mates. He wants to. Looks like they've never done anything wrong. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Means you can come over to this side, but it's not automatic.
Sure.
So you've got to be willing to turn from what the Bible says is wrong. Most important here, surrender your life to Jesus, so he becomes the boss.
Bro, what do you mean by surrender, mate?
It means that you do what he wants, not what you want.
Okay.
Good times and hard times. Okay, and that's the hard one. But this is the key. He'll help us with that, but you've got to be willing to surrender.
Okay.
Even he said that. He said, not my will be done, Father, but your will, before he went to the cross, which is pretty impressive. Final question, mate. If you were to die tonight, and I don't want you to die tonight, okay, which side do you think you'd be on?
Just going by what you've been saying to me, mate, I think I'd end up in that hell place.
Down there? Hey, mate, God bless you for being honest.
Yeah,
a lot of people not that honest.
Mm.
Look, I'm not here to convert you, but mm-hmm. this is the central message of the Bible. And what I'd love to do is give this to you. Okay, there's some QR codes at the back with some questions, like, is God real? Is the Bible true? Okay, there's my contact details at the back. Church contact details. I'm just putting them up. And basically have a read. And see
Cheers,
what you think.
You don't, yeah. you don't get many freebies these days, but I'll take this, mate. Yeah,
yeah
no
it's
worries.
Yours, mate.
Yeah.
yeah. Can I pray for you before?
Yeah.
What's
sure.
your name?
Yeah. Kim.
Kim. So you see how this goes? Now, it takes a little bit of learning, but this is what we want to try and do, to teach you how to do this. Of course, there is another option, which is a laminate. So you come up and you open it and it tells you what to say. So it's pretty simple, isn't it? You can just read it out. And you turn the page. It just takes you through the presentation, bit by bit. That's one option. We're going to put on a second option. Can we have Amy's video? So this next one is called the five-finger gospel. The five-finger gospel.
Hey, church family. Amy here. Sorry I couldn't be with you guys today. Unfortunately, I had some other commitments, but here I am sending a video. So, the five-finger gospel. The five-finger gospel is a technique of sharing the gospel without forgetting any major points and also not dragging it out too much. So this can be used in conversation. Me personally, I'll just say to someone, I'm a Christian, can I share with you what I believe? And then I'll just go into it. So, starting off, our first point, I want you all to hold out your thumbs for me. Actually, hold out your thumb. Okay, so when we do this, it's usually a sign that something is good, right? So that's our first point. God made us good. For each of these points, you can ad-lib a bit. I'll probably ad-lib as I go. But yeah, these are the key points, and then you kind of fill in the gaps. So, God made us good. He made the world good. He made people good. Everything was good. Second point. When you point to something, you're making a choice, right? And so that's our second point. God gave us a choice. He said to us, either we can choose to obey him or we can choose to sin. Now guess what we did? We chose to sin, which is our third point. I'm going to just hold up two fingers for the sake of it, but we chose to sin. And essentially that was us saying to God, I don't want anything to do with you, and pretty much like flipping God off, right? So the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So when that happened, we also became eligible for death. Now, God loved us so much that he didn't want us to be separated from him forever. So what did he want with us? He wanted a relationship. So this is our ring finger, this one here. And when someone gets married, they put a ring on their finger to show that they want to be in a relationship with this other person for the rest of their lives, right? So God's saying to us, I want a relationship with you. And so what did he do? He sent Jesus to come to earth as a human being and live the perfect life and die on the cross for us to pay that price of sin that we could never pay. And then the last part of that is pinky promise, okay? So God promises to us that when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and when we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we can be saved. And the promise of being saved is that we will have eternal life and our sins will be forgiven and we can live in heaven with God after we pass away on this earth. So, that's pretty much the five-finger gospel. I'll do a quick recap for you guys. Join in with me. So, everybody hold up your thumbs, okay? God made us good. Now, second point is, God gave us a choice. And then the third point, we chose to sin. Fourth point, God wanted a relationship. And our fifth point, God gave us a promise. So, you can pretty much fill in the gaps how you like, but that's our five key points to help you to remember to stay on track. And, yeah, to know what to share with other people when you're sharing the gospel. So, I hope that made sense, and I really hope that you can remember it and go out and share the gospel with people. Good luck.
Now, we're going to be starting seminars. It's on your handout that we've given this coming Wednesday. Amy's going to be there as well. So if you want to have more training from her, come on Wednesday. If you want to have more training from me, come on Wednesday. If you want to have more training from Kim, come on Wednesday. Now, Kim's going to show you his tool. So if we can put the next one up. Oh, no, I need to do that. Sorry. There it is. Kim, we've got a pointer here, mate. Just
fantastic, mate. I left my glasses at home, but my wife has them handy. So
just a middle button there if you want the red dot.
That's all right. Thank you, buddy.
Okay. The middle button.
Sure. So this I have used many times on the streets with family, friends. This is a sort of thing, I call it user-friendly. This is a sort of thing that you can use at Christmas time when you get your family gathered around, your friends and the like. You know what I mean? It's very easy. We're not going to get time involved in this today, but if you want to learn more about on how to share with it, or share on it, then come along on Wednesday night. So the first one, I'm just going to go through it very quickly with you, is how many of each animal did Moses take into the ark? How many of each animal did Moses take into the ark?
None.
That's correct, yeah. Many people say two. Was it Noah or Moses? Okay. Now this here is a Ray Comfort. This here is a Ray Comfort style. And I've done this on the streets many times in a blown-up version. And I noticed that a lot of people were going right around me as I was doing it. They were seeing the word intelligent, and they thought, well, I'm not intelligent, so I'm going to bypass this guy. So I said to the Lord one day, I said, Lord, what can I change this to so it's more user-friendly? And straight away he said to me, change it to observation test. I said, wow, Lord, you've got all the good ideas, haven't you? And so we changed it to observation, and no one has ever gone around since. They all come and have a crack. Fantastic. Okay, here's another one for you. What is the name of the raised print that deaf people use? You know that lumpy, bumpy stuff that they run their hands over? What's the name of the raised print that deaf people use? That's exactly right. Deaf people don't use it, do they? Blind people do. Is another stumbling block for them? Okay, now I'm not going to go through the whole lot of them. But my fourth, okay. To yourself, spell out the word shop. Spell out the word shop. What do you do when you come to a green light? No, you don't stop, you go, don't you? All right? You like that, don't you? I like it too. Okay. And that's when the defense mechanism comes up, you know what I mean? They start, hey, man, they start backing away, you know? Okay, here we go. Spell the word silk. What do cows drink? Very good. Most people say milk, but they drink water, don't they? Okay. Okay, listen very carefully. You are the driver of a train. There are 30 people on board. At the first stop, 20 people get on. At the second stop, 10 people get off. Now for the question. What is the name of the train driver? Very good. You are the driver of a train. Okay, here we go. And then we go through how many of the Ten Commandments can you name? Now, most people on average probably get 3 or 4 at the most. So you can give them a bit of a hand with the rest, okay? And here's another one for you. No, you probably can't see that. But yeah, so I can't really go through the rest of it because you won't be able to see from down the back there, will you? No, but that's all right. So if you want to learn more about this, you can have a lot of fun with your friends, family. Like I said, come along on Wednesday night and we'll teach you more on how to use it. So there you go.
I was failing all the way. You were getting back at me for doing the test with you. So one thing I want to say is, you know, all of this stuff is stuff you learn. Kim and I were not born out of our mother's wombs with tracts in our hands to give out to the doctors, okay? That's not the way it works. You learn these things. You learn these skills. And one of the... Oh, no, sorry. Kim, come back. I haven't finished. I want to talk just for a moment. What is success in evangelism? I mentioned last week, it's not winning souls. It's not winning an argument. It's not convincing someone. Success is measured solely by what? Our faithfulness in stepping out and the faithfulness of the message that we present. So I want to give you an example. Now, Kim, I'm going to approach you again. When you hear the word Christian, just bluntly tell me you're not interested, okay? Okay. Excuse me, buddy. I was wondering if you could help me out with something a little different.
Yeah? What's that, bro?
So have you seen this before?
No.
So this is the New Zealand Good Person Test. It's a Christian thing. It takes about 3 minutes, a few questions. You just got to be honest.
Oh, I'm not really keen on that sort of
not
stuff,
keen? Right? No, that's all right. Mate, no problem at all. You have a good day.
Sure. Thank you.
Now, most people at that point... we'll go, oh, I've been rejected. Oh, he doesn't like me. Oh, my day is ruined. No. You have just been successful because you've stepped out. You have just been successful because you've stepped out. I've had people tell them to F off. Okay? Very rare. Only once. Most people are very grateful when you share with them politely and respectfully. But that's success. Because I've approached someone. Now, success is also being able to go through this presentation and I can tell the person's not keen, and at the end of it, they go, like, I'm not keen. I say, no, that's fine. I'm not here to convert you. No problem at all. You have a great day. I'll still look out for you in heaven one day. Okay? Because I don't know what this person's gone through in the past in terms of bad experiences with Christians. I don't know where they're at. I've had people just the moment they see me, they go, no! Okay, maybe that was a demon. I don't know. But, you know. The point is, how we respond is crucial, how we approach, and remembering that success is stepping out and success is delivering a faithful message. That's it. End of story. The devil tries to pin other things on us. None of those are real. Okay. Would you agree with that, Kim?
Absolutely. Yep. You're going to get rejected many, many times. And personally, 10, 15 years ago, you know, you probably get 75% of the people that you approach or you're engaging with, they would listen to you, but times have changed. So you're going to get rejected. Jesus said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. You're going to get a hard time.
At times.
But you've got to stand fast. You've got to stand fast. You've got to persevere. You've got to keep on pushing through. Otherwise, you're going to go right back into your shell again, and that's no good. God can't use you when you're in a shell, can he? He can't.
Thank you, Kim. Yeah. I had a very interesting experience Monday last week. I was a countdown, and a couple of guys sitting on a bench, and I just went to them. This was in the evening. And they were very resistant. One guy's like, oh, no, I don't have time for this. This guy does. Like, oh, good, okay, they'll do. So I went through it. Interesting, the guy who was like, no. He was interested in what I was saying. And then I said, you know, where do you think you're going to go, heaven or hell? He goes, oh, both of them. Oh, no, we're going to hell, mate. That's where it's going to be at. That's where we want to be. Absolutely. Okay, that's fine. I said, look, not here to convert you. This is just a central message of the Bible. Can I leave this with you guys? Oh, no, you'd be wasting your paper. I said, mate, thank you for your honesty. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time. Shook their hands. One of the guys said to me, you know what? You're good at what you do. Thank you. Because I wasn't insulting. Yes, the message was offensive, but I wasn't offensive. I was being polite and respectful. And that's one of the key things that we teach at evangelism training is how to respond and how not to respond, what not to say. One of the things I want to say is, it never ceases to surprise me how the most introverted people can end up becoming some of the most successful evangelists, shall we say. I'll never forget this small wee lady, very, very shy, very shy. And she'd come up. She wasn't hunched, it's just that I'm going small. And she'd come up, excuse me, can you help me out with something? You know, about as threatening as a snowflake. Who would say no to her? Nobody said no to her. And then, oh, and are you going to hell? You know, it was like, bang, you know. It was amazing. She was so good at it. She was non-threatening. She was polite. She was respectful. And everybody was willing to give her an opportunity. So don't think that just because you haven't got the gift, the gab, or this or that, or you're not funny, or you are funny, none of that matters. It's the fact that you are willing to step out, get trained, and then see what God does. Father, we want to thank you today for the fact that the gospel is powerful. It's living, it's active, it's the power of God for salvation. For those out there who don't know you, and Lord, if there's people who are hearing this message and don't know you, I just want to encourage you folks, please reach out. Tap someone on the shoulder if you're here today. Call someone, talk to a Christian you know. Because this is the most important thing you'll ever hear. And it will affect your destiny, your eternal destiny. But I want to thank you, Lord, also that the gospel is for us in our lives. It transforms our lives. And it reminds us who we really are in Christ. And the fact that we're on a journey to become more and more like you. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that you speak to everybody today, what you would have them do. And then give them the boldness and the courage to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.